Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show. Hello, friends. Welcome into the Eric St. Show podcast, a daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures from right here in the luxurious Impact Power Sports Studio. Impact Power Sports online at ImpactPowerSportsMI.com. I'll be meeting with the good folks from Impact Power Sports today. A high-level business meeting has to take place. So there you go. They are awesome. If you need a Yamaha golf cart, and who doesn't, frankly, need a Yamaha golf cart? That's where you go. They're in Rockford, Michigan. You can also pick up an ATV, UTV, e-bike, motorcycle, snowmobile, lawnmower, you name it, they got it. On the live stream, if you want to comment, you must be a subscriber. I just changed that recently. My apologies if there's any confusion. You're like, wait, what? Yeah, I know. And if you're subscribed, you're skipping all the commercials. There's two ways to subscribe. You can do it by linking up your Amazon Prime account and or you can pay a few bucks a month. That's up to you. If not, just sit through the commercials. Either way, it's fine. But I want you to be able to comment, so you got to subscribe. That was put in place after, I had to put a few more barriers between me and an entity that refuses to stop hassling me, refuses despite my best efforts. So you're like, hey, I don't know what you're talking about, EZ. Yeah, I don't want to reveal anything about it. But people are asking. John says, you're EZ, you're wearing the same sweatshirt as yesterday. Yeah, I know. I think that might be the third time this week I've worn this one. Because this is how this works. When it's bedtime, the clothes are next to the bed. And then I get in bed. And then I wake up and I put them back on. And then that's it. I literally have to wear one pair of underwear a month. Some of that is true. You have to figure out what is true. Lately, I've got it down where, like the radio show, the top of the hour is news. I've talked about this before for the radio show that I do on Q100. And the news team does 2 minutes of news and then 1 minute of commercials. So I have 3 minutes from the time my alarm goes off at 6 a.m., to get in here and get on the air. So there is literally no margin of error whatsoever. So the amount of time it takes me to get the Detroit Lions hoodie, the Red Wings winter cap on, and my slippers and my sweatpants is then I sit down. There's probably 25 seconds left. I hit the music, and then away I go. I would believe one pair of undies a month if you had a bidet and knew how to use it. That's a great point, Maureen. You must listen to the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast because there was some outrageous discussions about bidets, and I literally had it wrong as to the specifics of how to use it. I couldn't figure it out. I mean, I know what a bidet does, but there's a nuance to it that is embarrassing. Okay. Also, on the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast this week, by sheer accident, kind of, we had a, you remember when, like on the Tracy Ullman show in the late 80s, when they featured a little vignette called The Simpsons? Okay, that's how The Simpsons began, as a short on the Tracy Ullman show. While I was doing the podcast, the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast, Pooh Bear sat in for me while I let the dog out. Thus, that was the very first effort, our first ever, technically, the Patreon Poohcast. That's what we can refer to it as. Pooh Bear sat in here, put on the headphones, and had a discussion for 10 minutes with the group live on Zoom. It was great fun. I haven't listened to it. I won't listen to it. I don't know what she talked about. She says she talked about my penis, which is ridiculous. The Poohcast needs to happen more often. Pooh Bear. And just like, because she doesn't know how to do anything here, but she knows how to talk. I'll just put the headphones on her and say, all right, there you go. Do the Poohcast. I think that people would like the Poohcast because it gives people a glimpse further into this household. From her standpoint, you know, she is a big personality. There is no doubt about it. And she knows how to turn it on and off even more. So when she's in front of a microphone, I'm telling you, she's a great radio wife. She understood long ago how this all works. And I can't say enough how much I appreciate her. I know I don't say it enough. How much I appreciate Pooh Bear. But as I understand it, rave reviews on the first ever Patreon Poohcast. All right. We are now days away from the sixth annual Eric Zane Show Podcast Great Food Giveaway. Brought to you by you, the listener, where we passed the hat around, raised $5,600. I take it back, $6,600. We raised all of the money with your donations, and then Mike Ball from MB Distributing threw in $1,000 from the Ball family. The multi-talented Michael, Nicole, Carter, and Smithers. Why the hell do you call Mike Ball's son Smithers, EZ? All right, back to The Simpsons. If you ever seen The Simpsons, Mr. Burns' assistant is Smithers. And I didn't think of this. It was my daughter, Jacqueline. And she goes, Mike Ball's son looks like Smithers. I go, what? I go, oh, yeah, he kind of does look like Smithers. Smithers is going to be there taking selfies and pics at the Great Food Giveaway coming up Tuesday at 3 p.m. That's when it gets started. We'll get there about 1. I might get there a little later. Got things to do. But I'm just the eye candy. I mean, honestly, and Smithers is the eye candy. So he's good at that. What he's not good at is putting out fires. You know, he's a young man. He hasn't dealt with the public like the rest of us have. In particular, Megan, when she was faced with a crabby recipient in the Great Food Giveaway, and that will happen. You get this hodgepodge of people who are getting the food, and there was a little bit of miscommunication, not the end of the world. And some folks thought that they got more than one box of food when they were told that they are not getting two boxes of food. There was some consternation, some upset feelings, and Smithers was the brunt of it. And he's like, he's got angry black women screaming at him. And he's like, oh, shit, I don't know how to deal with this. He hadn't even seen a black person until that event. So thank God show mom Megan stepped in and rescued Smithers from what could have been a catastrophe, because they were pissed off. They were coming on strong. And Megan has a great handle on dealing. She's a people person. She's in customer service. So she's being polite and smiling, trying to talk her way out of it. Now, I don't know if she necessarily was successful in talking her way out of it, because they kind of like peeled out. They were very upset and peeled out on that deal. Nick says we should make some fake ringer boxes to hand out to the Escalades and the BMWs. Oh, my God. You're right. It's a great idea. Chris in Buffalo says, just remember, even though they're driving an Escalade, the credit score might be 380 with a 28.9 APR on the loan. They might need the food. Maureen says, I have plenty of experience dealing with ignorant masses from my dog outreach work. Some of our volunteers are not allowed to talk in stressful situations. They send me in for that. I think because I'm old. LOL. Stevie asks, how is Bruce doing this morning?
Well, let's check it out.
He's hanging in there as we get his gray face up here. He was a big snuggle bug last night. We have stopped the rice and hard-boiled eggs diet. He is back to eating his old food. So I think he has turned the corner, and he ate it just fine. Okay, last night, full snuggle bug, but there was some problematic farts. So I think things have settled down in his digestive system. Pooh Bear says to me, she says, look, because she found out that it was another $700 bill for him. And she says, you got to wait to take him in, because it probably would have cleared up on his own. And I said, that's horrible. That is horrible advice, and it's par for the course, all right? Yeah, I said, you are not a good dog owner. She says, what the hell are you talking about? I said, we didn't know that, though. He might have eaten something that was terrible for him, that was causing some type of perforation in his intestines or a blockage. And I can't function like that. The anxiety of that, trying to wait it out, hoping that he makes a turn for the better, is unacceptable. So, no, I'm not doing that. This is the same woman, she's a psychopath, who I've told this story before about when my cat, Lincoln, I was walking up the steps, and I'm like face to face with him, and his eyes are two different colors. One was the same color it's always been, and the other one was black. And I said to her, what is going on here? And she says, what? I go, his eyes are two different colors. Oh, they're always that way. I go, I don't think they were. She says, yeah. Yeah, it is. I go, I really don't believe that. I'm taking him in. No, I wouldn't. I go, what's it going to hurt? I take him in, and long story short, he had eye cancer. Like, I'm not kidding you. They removed the eye, and the eye had cancer in it. And had I not done this, he said, it's a damn good thing you brought it in because that can easily go into the brain. You caught it way early, and because what they do is they detect the pressure. And he also said that the cat was probably in terrible discomfort because of that. And I'm like, what the fuck? So now he's got one eye. Tyler says, hasn't she historically said to wait when animals could have died had you not intervened? Absolutely. I've always followed my instincts when it comes to the pets. Always. There have been times when I didn't listen to the instinct. Prior to going to Animal Medical Center of Wyoming, who again refuses to spend money with me, damn it. We went to another vet, and when Lucy, you don't know Lucy, but she was another bulldog we had. There's something wrong with her. I take her in. Vet says, all right, I think she's fine. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with her. And I'm like, and I remember feeling just like they were wrong. It just didn't feel right. And I brought her home, and the next day I got home from work, and she was dead on the floor. That was a week before I got fired, or a week before I got suspended from Free Beer for when I made fun of the guy's pants. It was a rough week. My dog died, and then I made fun of Joel's pants, and then that was the end of the line. It turned out to be a blessing, obviously. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here with you now. All right. So anyway, that's what's up with Bruce. He's doing much better. Much, much better. In fact, I stopped giving him his medications. They said if he stops diarrhea, you're in good shape. So thank you for that. Thank you for asking. All right. I got a heads up today, and I don't know what the fuck is going on. I don't know what is in the water. Tyler writes, when you called the queen of the forest and told her about the dead dog, did she say she's probably fine, just leave her there and she'll walk it off eventually? Oh, that was so bad. Oh, my God. So I'm here doing the show today, doing the radio show, minding my own business again. And Alan in Wisconsin sends me a screenshot. These poor people get so wound up. Oh my God. This person, this Jonathan Winston, is pissed off about something. He posts to the place, I guess, where you go to talk about me, the Freeburn Hot Wings Segment 18 radio show Facebook page. As you can see, it says, anyone else in awe of how vile Eric Zane actually is? Worst hire ever. I haven't worked there in 10 years. What are you talking about? What brought this on? Why now? Why all of a sudden now? What in the world is happening that has made Jonathan Winston so upset? I wonder if there's a way to reach out to Jonathan Winston. I would love to talk to Jonathan Winston. He looks like an oil rigger. Like he works in oil fields because on Facebook he's got pictures. What are these things called? Derricks? Pump? And this is him. So he's got, it's the usual appearance. I mean, this is the typical face of the average Freeburn Hot Wings show audience member. They always look like this. Yeah, I want to know. I want to talk to this guy. The oil industry is what he does. Maybe I could look up his license plate on his rig. I see that he's got a Nebraska plate. Maybe that'll help me. I like the sport of tracking these people down. Yes, I don't know. I don't know what brought this on. I don't know why he's attacking me. What did I do? Ben Glaze says, I can't comment on the live stream, but you're the only thing keeping the Segment 18 page afloat, LOL. The other posts are all memes. Posts about you are the only ones that get traction. I know. Isn't that crazy? Yeah, you can't post because you got to subscribe. I had to put that parameter in place on my Twitch. Do you have an Amazon Prime account, Ben Glaze? Link up your Amazon Prime account to Twitch and you can comment. It's unfortunate that I had to do that. I apologize for those, but it's just awful. It has been a week. I tell you what, it has been a week. What with these senseless, heinous attacks on your old pal EZ. Bob says it's a Christmas miracle. Not one Greggy Mike sniff during the 9 o'clock Hot Wings break-in. What a heartless monster free beer is. Yeah, he did the same thing last year, I think because he hates Hot Wings. Hurricane Ashley is here and says, so Winston is just a fan? Worst hire ever? Weird way to say that. I don't know. Birch Barlow says, it's because I exposed the fraud break-ins. Yeah, that's what I'm gathering. I don't understand. I mean, all I've said is what they've said. They've made it known that what I've talked about is actually a thing. The whole theater of the mind element to it. I said that they're doing a great thing by a person who's down on their luck giving them $50,000 worth of toys. I mean, who wouldn't want an entire mobile home filled from the floor to the ceiling with packages? I mean, rather than taking that money and, you know, buying food, let's give it all to one person who then turns around and sells it all because they don't have the storage to keep all that shit in place. It's a real burden. I always felt bad about the break-ins because we actually were costing the people that we gave all the shit to money because they then had to rent like $90,000 a month in storage space to put all the garbage in there. You know? And then it was always a drag because Ronnie's charcuterie boards would give us 500 charcuterie boards, so then we give one person who doesn't even have legs 500 charcuterie boards because Ronnie's charcuterie boards sponsored the break-ins. My contention has been that what started as a good intention of, oh my God, let's give Christmas where there was none before to people and then in and out and we leave, has turned into a sponsorship opportunity for dozens of people that spend money. It has become a money-making venture. All right? It was getting that way when I was there. Local furniture company would sponsor it and then they'd make it seem like, oh yeah, they're just giving it all away. No, they're spending big money with all of the donations in exchange for the mentions. entire ad budgets for a year are spent on these things. Sarah Honda Granville, who's got the world's biggest asshole general manager. Everybody else there is great. I love Thad. But the general manager is a total piece of shit. They spend big money. So don't even try to convince me that this is some good thing that you're doing. You're making tons of money off of it. And then the element of, all right, okay, we're going to give all the, we're going to give 500 charcuterie boards to this family. They are unemployed, and the mom won't get a job, and the dad's drunk. Okay, well, let's take those details and make it that it's a single mom who's got vagina cancer, and all the kids are amputees. Let's do that. Okay, great. Bob says, how many cars were given away from that one used car dealer? Drives off good. Guy that also gave the Lindsay Lohan Freedom van for Joe. Yes. I forgot the name of the place. So that's all I've said. Not to mention the fake sniffles. Not to mention the, all right, hey, it's Freebeer. I'm getting ready to leave for my break-in. Then he walks in the other room, picks up the phone. Hell yeah, I am now 40 miles away. Oh my God, look at them. They're loading it all in. Let me read you this letter that I made up off the top of my head. Huge pile of shit. But yeah, there are people getting gifts. I've never denied that. There are people that are taking it. I mean, who wouldn't want 500 charcuterie boards from Ronnie's Charcuterie Board Exchange? Ashley is here. I made her laugh. Why has it been so long since you've been here? What the fuck are you doing, you slob? Hold on a second here. I'm calling you. Let me look up S-K-A-N-K. All right.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Good morning.
Hi, Ashley. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Very well. Did you ever participate on a holiday break-in?
I did.
Is what I'm saying even, is it true? I mean, can you maybe describe what you remember?
I just remember, like, going to Meijer and getting an ungodly amount of wrapping paper, but, like, never going to a house or anything. It was just like a bunch of errands.
Did it seem like there was way too many gifts for one household?
Seems a little unnecessary, but the charcuterie board is killing me.
The fact that somebody who lives in an 18 by 18 house is getting 90,000 square feet of gifts.
Yeah, they get the charcuterie boards in the trailer, but there's like no cheese to go with it.
All right. So everybody's wondering are you still in West Michigan?
I am still in West Michigan.
Is there a Mr. Ashley these days?
No, not since the love of my life, Mr. Mayor.
I'm not laughing because you're single. I'm laughing because the way you describe that.
Yeah, it's been like 3 years.
Oh my God, you're so not over it.
No, I am over it.
Oh, but you are.
If there's a mister out there, you know, we can do round four again.
All right. Well, good deal. That's outstanding. And you're still working for the same place?
Yeah.
My God.
Crazy, right?
I don't want to say anything more because you claim that the last time I talked to you too much on the show, that I got you fired or some shit.
That was true. So let's be good.
We'll dispute that. All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your day.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, see ya.
There you go. Oh, my God. Fuck. Yeah. So what do I do? Joe? Yeah, let's go shopping at Meijer, and then you can punch me in the fucking face. Oh, my God. Oh, I love you. Oh, my God. Oh, I hate you. Oh, you broke my nose. I love it. Oh, yeah. Oh.
Runner girl Amy is here. She's in love with Ashley, and Ashley's in love with her. Why is this all coming up? Why are we focusing on this? Because rather than focusing on the broadcast, 7 hours ago, Jonathan Winston wrote this about me. So that would be, okay, it's where I'm at, it's 9:34. I'm assuming he's an hour back if he's working in the oil field, probably somewhere in Texas. So we're talking about 1 or 2 in the morning. I was on his mind as he's pumping oil out of the ground in the middle of nowhere. And he heads over to the segment 18 page and writes this. Now, I would argue that I was the best hire ever. It worked out outstandingly. Okay. It all worked out. Why in the... we were a great team for a while, despite our differences. We did a very good job at creating the entity that is the Free Beer and Hot Wings show, most of it by me. And then when I was dealt out, when I was fired, the show continued on, and you're very happy. So that would make it the best hire ever. You got me in. I did what I did. The relationship got long in the tooth, didn't work out, and then that's that. Who gives a shit? But I didn't do anything bad to, I helped the growth of the show. So I would argue that I was the, if it wasn't for me, the show would not be where they are. If it wasn't for me, that show would not have a holiday break-in. Everybody knows that. So whatever, I've moved on. You should too. Just because I do air checks and critique that show once in a while, once a week for an hour, it shouldn't be the end of the world. You should be ignoring me. You really should. I can't believe you would take any of your precious time, devoting it on the day of the holiday break-in. This is your Super Bowl of a day for the show. Let's see. Jonathan said Eric is posting repeatedly that the holiday break-ins are fake. That is not true. I have never once said that. I've called them the holiday fake-in, but I've never said that they're fake. You can ask the dozens of West Michigan people who may or may not be in financial trouble who have dozens of charcuterie boards. They have been recipients. Like there was one couple that was so poor, so-and-so sewer company or whatever, septic system, agreed to show up and pump their septic. They didn't have a septic system. So we just announced that we just gave them a sponsorship. They just paid for the sponsorship. That's how it works. Logan said, no. He said they're heavily dramatized. Fake stories, calls from the break-in are actually from another studio or the radio station lobby. He never said they're fake. Correct. This person says he has definitely said they were fake multiple times over the years. He's a giant wine bag. Okay. Logan says he tells the same stories every year about Freebird's fake sniffles, the fake call-ins, and the fake stories. He's never flat out called them fake. This person says, oh, please. He has spent years claiming they're staged. Not sure how you used the word fake three times there to describe what Eric says about the break-in and still came to the conclusion that he hasn't called them fake. He literally calls them the fake-ins. LOL, I mean, what is there to break-ins other than the stories of the families and the call-ins? Now, Zane is a giant tool who gets off on being boarding libel towards the FBHW show. Oh, you can't use legal language like that. Bordering on libel. That's ridiculous. And then he shows, this person shows some screenshot from, I don't know when this was. This looks like it's years old, even though it says 22 weeks ago. So you're against the charity the money goes to. And I said, I'm not sure. I'm not positive they aren't embezzling. And that's true. I don't know that. Why would I make a comment about where that money goes? I have no idea what they're doing with it. If it's a 501c3 charity, it should all be transparent. You should be able to go there and take a look at their books. And I'm sure it's fine, but I'm not positive they're not embezzling. That's not libelous. And then this person then says, well, don't most charities dabble with embezzlement? Well, that person's saying it's embezzlement. I'm not saying it's embezzlement. Doesn't change that things like the holiday break-ins are pretty awesome. And I wrote staged. Yeah, of course they're staged. The same way I've told you they're staged. My God. Logan says, well, you clearly haven't listened to the words coming out of his mouth, just regurgitating what other people say. He's literally said on his show with his own mouth that the people are real. They really get free stuff like charcuterie boards, but the show embellishes the stories for the dramatics. Now, we would oftentimes say, yeah, we're changing the details so that these people, that their identities are safe, and that is true. If you really wanted to make it known, you want to make sure that, you take all the actual facts and completely eliminate them and put in your own details so that, you know, the situation doesn't stand out as something that someone could recognize. So to do that, you have to absolutely just change it. Now, when I was building the holiday break-ins, I said, I don't think that's necessary. They said, no, that's absolutely true. Well, that takes away the impact. If we're telling people that they're fake stories, why would we do that? Rich is here. He says he's not saying the entire thing is fake. He's saying the stories are heavily embellished and the on-site calls are done from the studio hallway. Freebird sniffles are fake, though. Why lean in close to the mic to sniff? Well, I don't know if they're fake now. I'm just telling you what I saw when I worked with them. It seemed fake because what I remember seeing is like you'd have a person describing the recipient and say, yes, this recipient has 11 different kinds of cancer and AIDS and MS and Lou Gehrig's disease and could use a break. And then Greg would be sitting there listening for a strategic point and then he'd go, I was like, oh, my God. Wow, that's weird. Matt says, I am a spiraling alcoholic. Now, you're really scraping the bottom of the barrel on insults if you're talking about my alcoholism. Next year will be 30. Wait a minute. It might be 30 years now. I can't remember if it was. What have I said in the past? Have I said 95 or 96? No, it was 96. This summer in June, it will be 30 years since I have consumed alcohol. So I don't know if I'm definitely describing myself as a spiraling alcoholic. That's kind of weak. Danny says, I thought this was about Zane, not Maitland and Kelly. And then Alan says, those two have steady jobs that aren't focused on shitting on people. That's been a thing of theirs for a long time, that I don't have a steady job. I wish I had less steady jobs. And I wrote, I love your neck beard. And he said, LMAO, dude, get a real job. I don't know what to say about that. I've had a real, where do you want to begin? When you say real job, do you mean one where you have to like check in with the boss and drive to a location and like punch a time clock? Because by that definition, I guess I don't really have a job because I've been able to, the overhead in my job, in my business, is has no cost. It's my brain and my mouth and my words. That is all it takes to do what I do. And I have here in this little old room all I need. Okay? Why in the world? So that means I don't have a real job because I do it from the house and hang out with the dogs and I wear the same clothes every day because I'm too lazy to change my clothes because I'm so GD comfortable. Oh, no. Yeah. Sign me up. Sign me up for the real job. I really want to do that one. I have such a good time here that leaving the house is like frightening to me. I'm like, oh my God, I gotta go out to the mailbox and get the mail. I don't think this is a bad gig. I mean, I do wish I could see more people, but I don't think this is a bad gig at all. Alan says, do you not see the irony here? Man, Facebook people are so fucking weird. Like, what idiotic notion inspires so many people to join groups for things they don't like? Logan says, it's the best radio show in America. What makes you think I don't like it? And I said, I agree. I love it. The shitty content fuels my soul. Why are all these wieners bitching here? They should be listening to the Gregsters fake crying. So anyway, again, this all started because that I did nothing. This guy did this at 2 in the morning. Magical Lobster 8422 says, if he makes disparaging comments about free beer and hot wings, he tends to pull more listeners, viewers from the hate, fear of missing out watching. I don't know that. I have no idea. That's all it is. That's why he's still clinging to the show. Okay, that's ridiculous. I love when people say that I'm doing that to cling to the show. I've been podcasting for 7 years. And 2 of those years, I've been doing Who Are These Free Beers? Maybe. Because he still profits from it by disparaging it. The best action possible is to ignore him altogether. And that part is true. That part is true. But again, I didn't go to this page and post. Someone posted about me. They sought me out. I bank on people who are disenfranchised. It's important for people to know that I exist and that I do these things. And then they put that in the back of their brain. Now, they may not rush over and check out what I have to say, but they might absolutely be curious as to what I do. And more often than not, it's fantastic and entertaining, dare I say, every time. Ben Glaze and I do an amazing set of shows on Big Fraud Show Days. And not just Who Are These Free Beers? So for those who then later on get disenfranchised with that show, I'm here for them. All right? Now, I will say this. If you sign up now for Patreon at patreon.com/Eric Zane, I will throw in a free charcuterie board, which I stole on my days from Free Beer and Hot Wings. Stevie says you were 26 when you quit. Yes. No, I was 25. because June of 96 would make me 25. Wait a minute. Hold on. No. Wait a minute. I'm confused here. Because Jackie was not... Diana had not given... Okay. Yes, it was 96. Because Jim was only around. Jacqueline had not yet been born. Jacqueline was born in April of 27. Stevie said you said before you were 26. It had to have been a mistake by me. Because I would have been 26 if it were June of 97, and it wasn't. It was June of 96. That makes me 25. I'm 100% sure that is my mistake. Amanda says, I love easy math. Oh, I do too. I do too. Oh my God, I got to sneeze. Hang on. Birch Barlow says the FBHW crowd are the same ones that say it's true because they saw it on the internet. Scott says, congrats on the sobriety. It's been great. It's so far away. But I'll say it again. If you're a drunk like me, the one thing you never want to do is get cocky with it. Because it's always in the rearview mirror. It's just way far back there. And every day that you're successful in not drinking, it's a little bit further backwards. But the time it takes to get behind you and very, very distant, it takes longer. It takes me 30 years so that it's just a dot in the rearview mirror. But one bad day, and it's back. It doesn't gradually come back. It just comes back. And then whammo! So it could creep up on me at any time. And I have to keep that in mind. Let's see. Clown of Carnage says, based on the logic of the audience, that he doesn't have a real job. He works from home. Very interesting job. That would be Black Belt Nick. When people have inventions, they apply for patents. He is the guy who says, he has two stamps. One says approved, and the other one says suck my dick. And then if they get that one, that means it's not approved. He's a patent approver guy, federal employee. Rebecca says, your job is infinitely more difficult than mine is. Thank you. I don't know about that, though. I don't know what you do again. You told me, but I forgot. I was in small talk mode. Wait a minute. Don't you work for, like, a hospital system? Or no, you work for Orthopedic Associates. No. That's Becca Shea. I don't know what you do. You might have told me that. You are your own boss. You have to be extremely motivated to get up every day, prep the show, sell marketing, and everything else we don't see. Thank you. But this, you know, this isn't about me. Patrick says, FBHW, lack of content and downward trajectory is worth talking about. It's so bizarre to me that people are so passionate about the shitty version of that show. Exactly, Patrick. There is a pile of dogs behind me, two of which have hoodies, one does not. Megan says O'Neill doesn't need a hoodie because he gets to be in the puppy pile with the hoodie dogs. Scott writes, I was 8 years clean next April. Okay, so that means like you're like struggling? Are you not on the sober bandwagon? Or are you still? Maybe that's written weird. Brangio says we should all trade jobs for a day. I'll be an on-air traffic controller. That would be Nick in Houston. He is the air traffic controller, which, by the way, yesterday I talked about this on the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast. We were talking about, it was on yesterday's Patreon. I was talking about scenes from movies where there was plane disasters or planes landing. And I watched when Sully landed, Tom Hanks and that other guy landed the plane. And the air traffic controller, Teterboro, that's Nick. I'll bet you Nick could write a book. I don't know, maybe only if there's been interesting things happening. Otherwise, it'd be boring as hell. Of moments when he's had to, like, issue emergency-style advice to the pilots. Side note, talking to Nick, the air traffic controller out of Houston. I remember one time I interviewed the guy who's in charge of the Federal Aviation Association Administration, FAA, Federal Aviation Administration. Why in the world would I be talking to the guy who runs the FAA? He wrote a book, and his name is Ben Sliney. No longer runs the FAA. He got out of that business. He had been hired, and he was getting ready to start his first day of work. So, his first day of work, he was so proud to be able to do this. Really moved up in the world. This is kind of like pinnacle level of peak performance in charge of the FAA. He's going to be at the nerve center of the entire operation and actually talk to the boots on the ground that are actually directing traffic. And he walks in, you know, 8:30 the first day, straightens his tie. He goes, what a day. And it was September 11, 2001. His first day on the job in charge of the FAA is that. Oh, my God. He played himself in the film Flight 93, which was the one in Shanksville. Flight 93, Ben Sliney. Or United 93. It was a great movie. Let's roll! It's too difficult to find scenes. Maureen says, here's my resignation. Rebecca says, I quit. Nick, the black belt Nick says, my first supervisor watched. You wrote, watch the OK going into the Pentagon as he was driving in. I think that's obviously a typo. The plane going into the Pentagon as he was driving in, didn't see it hit because of the VM buildings, but saw it going down into it. The one plane. I quit this bitch. Inetta, the mood setter. Of course, legendary, my God. All right. Definitely a Friday edition of the show. In 3-2-1, we should be hearing from Man Bun Chris saying, hey, it's an hour late. I forgot. I saw an article about the unsettling reason Rob Reiner's son, Nick, attended Conan O'Brien's Christmas party. As stories continue to unfold about this psychopath. He wasn't even invited to the bash. But Rob Reiner and his wife, Michelle, didn't want to leave him alone. So they're like, okay, we want to go to the party. So Reiner called Conan and said, hey, man, can I bring my son? And, you know, Conan probably knew that this guy's a psychopath and was probably like, oh, God, fuck me. But said, yeah, sure. The Hollywood Reporter said that Nick's, quote, often extreme and stressful behavior had escalated and grown degrees even more concerning in recent weeks. All right, that is Act 1 of the podcast. Act 2 is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.